Weathered the rain. I love it. Well done. I'm impressed. Well, this is a treat for me. My name is Billy Sturbany. I tried to meet each of you coming in the door, but I live in Jacksonville, Florida. This is my daughter, Scout, right here, my 10-year-old. My wife, unfortunately, couldn't be with me this morning. She was at the 8 o'clock. She had to take our son to soccer camp at Clemson, so we're flying solo together. But I love being here, and I'll tell you why I love being here. My father, when I grew up, was the Episcopal Bishop in Florida. And so for every summer from 1974 or whatever to the mid-80s, we would come and spend a month, and I would live in that rectory, and I would run barefooted through the grass on the golf course and catch crawfish and ring that bell when I wasn't supposed to and do all kinds of things. So this is a really special place to me. This is a second home, and I'm excited to share it with my children and to be here with y'all. The day we drove up here, you know, Linville's got a smell. We all know this. And it's like no place on earth. And when I stepped in here and I breathed in the air, it was like a trap door open, and I was flooded with all these memories. And everywhere I go, everywhere I walk, I encounter another one. And especially in this room, I've seen my dad stand in this pulpit I don't know how many times. So it's an honor for me to do this. My favorite memory of this church was one Sunday morning, it was probably the first or second week we had been preaching here, and my dad was, you know, trying to make an impression, and the church was full, and my sister and I, for whatever reason, were running late. So we came out of the back door of the rectory, and we looked at each other, and we're like, we thought we had a really good idea. We had to bring our hamsters to church with us. So we got a shoebox and put our hamsters into the shoebox, and we came down the aisle just in time for communion. My parents had no idea until we got to the communion rail. And there my dad was serving communion about three people down, and he looks over. We had taken the lid out, and he sees these two hamsters poke their nose over. And I'll never forget my dad's eyes got the size of dinner plates because there was nothing he could do. And except the one thought, I'm sure, was, I will never be asked back. I don't know where my mother was during this, but I certainly remember her expression as we sat in the pews, and she had this look of embarrassment and horror. Embarrassment because the two children had just brought rodents into the church. But horror because when we opened the box where there once were two gerbils, there was now only one. It had escaped. What do you do in that moment? Well, the gerbil had gotten out, so we just froze and waited. Didn't make a sound. Then everybody left, and my dad was out front, and we were crawling around under the pews trying to find it, and we never found our gerbil. So if you see anything crawling around your ankles today, would you just grab it? I've been looking for that for a long time. I love those stories. And I love telling those stories. And I love this place because this place is dripping with stories. Because our stories, they aren't just funny things we tell. They make us who we are, aren't they? The stories we carry, they define kind of how we think about ourselves and how we think about this world and how we think about God. So when I look in this room and I see every one of your faces, I know every one of you represents a story. You have a chandelier of friendships, your families, or where you're from. There's things that you've done in your life. There's things you didn't do in your life. Or things that were done to you or for you. And it's this beautiful thing, and those stories define you, and they make you who you are. There's one thing, as much as our stories are different, and they are, I know, we all have one thing in common. And that thing is this, that we all have stories that there are parts of those stories that we would have never written for ourselves. Am I right? You live long enough, there's these places there's tragedies that we've experienced. Or there's things that have happened, or things that we've lost, or things that we contend with in our lives that have left divots in our stories, that are painful things. And those places in our stories, they hold sway over us. They affect the way we think. When we think we've escaped those things, sometimes they come crashing back in. And then they lead me to ask a question. Why am I the way that I am? Why is it the way I am? Why is it the story that I want and the story I got don't fit together like they should? And to make it even worse, we in this room, to make this a little harder, we're Christians. We know Jesus. We're the answer people. So that makes the question harder. What do I do with these things that seem disconnected, that I don't know how to deal with? The gospel teaches us that there's a higher path for us, And there's a greater story that we tap into. Now this morning, we're in the season of Pentecost. And this morning is Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday that we talk about what the Holy Trinity is. It's the one Sunday that we talk about a doctrine of the church rather than just camping on a particular verse. Now the Trinity, it's something that doesn't seem like it's connected to what we're talking about here. My story and the life I've lived and how it impacts me. How I can reconcile that. But I want to lean into it a little bit, and I think it does dramatically. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the word Trinity. Did you know that the word Trinity is not in the Bible? You can't find it. It's not in there. It's a word that came up with a man by the name of Tertullian, not a very popular name anymore, but a gentleman by the name of Tertullian in the 3rd century came up with this word because he was trying to wrap language around this concept that the apostles and the disciples of Jesus had embodied in Scripture. He was trying to come up with a singular word to describe this God, this one God, a singular God that stood apart and above all other gods that people worshipped, against the pantheon of gods. And while he was one God, he was also 3 persons. We have the Father, we have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. Now, we've heard that so much, haven't we? That's not news to you. But we hear it so much, we almost read over it. Because it has really powerful implications. Because if that's true, and it is, that we have a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what that means is this eternal God, before the foundations of the world, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when that's all there was, they lived in this dynamic relationship with each other. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were a community in and of themselves. They were relationship in and of themselves. And they were part of this dance where they would love one another and serve one another and move among one another. And it was this community in and of itself. And it's important for you to see that because it's not just some cold doctrine. Because when we're talking about our stories and the story that you've lived and I've lived and the stories that we're surrounded by, when we study the Trinity, what we realize is that God is just not some cold doctrine, that he is a story in and of himself. Before the first story began, there was the story that was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, he wasn't knocking over the first domino of this narrative that we live. He was taking this thing that he is, that is full and complete, and this vibrant story, and he was beginning to unfold it, to overflow, to communicate it into creation. And he created the world, this relational, communal, this beautiful world. And at the height of creation, what did he create? What does it say in Genesis? He made man. And how did he make him? In his image. God made man in his image. So when you ask the question, why am I this way? Why do I live in these stories that are so powerful in my life? You are the way you are because God is the way he is. And he made you like him. This enstoried God created an enstoried people. It's beautiful. Made to walk with him and to live in relationship with him, with one another, and to create new stories. So that's true, and it is. Why does my story not feel the way I want it to feel sometimes? Why do I have to deal with those things? Why do you have to deal with those things? See, when God was writing that story, and he took the pen in his hand, when he wrote your story, he put a pen in your hand too. Because he wanted you to be a co-writer, to write your story alongside and to stay within his lines, to mimic his handwriting. But then there was this fallen angel named Satan, and he wanted to write his own story. And he convinced us to do the same. And when you read the creation story, Adam and Eve, and it says they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their declaration of independence from God, what they're saying in that moment is they're saying, I am going to write my own story. This story I was supposed to write that was about God's glory, I'm going to write it about my own. And as they continued to write it in the first letters after they fell, guess what they wrote? They wrote it shame. They became aware of their nakedness and they were ashamed and they hid. And they hid from God. And then death entered the story. And then disconnection. And then everything that we know that follows in that story. It was so broken. That's why our stories are so painful. Because we are writing these stories of our own glory that we were never meant to write. We have this world that writes a narrative that was never meant to be written that way. It was supposed to be written along the lines of God's creative narrative. And that's not the way it is. So what does God do about it? How does the Holy Trinity fix this? Well, I have to explain it this way. When I was a kid, I still love movies. I'm a movie buff. I love it. I like watching it. I don't care if it's an action movie, if it's a war movie, if it's a romantic comedy, if it's dramatic, if it's a cartoon. I don't care. As long as it's well done, I will watch a movie. I will love it. And I remember when it was, I guess it was, 1976, and the movie, you remember the movie Jaws? Remember that came out? That was one of the first movies that I remember thinking, oh my goodness. And I grew up in Florida, right? You see Jaws and you're from Florida, you don't get in the ocean for about 6 more years. Why? Because you hear that music every time. You know, you'd be in the bathtub and you'd hear the Jaws music. And I remember vividly sitting in that movie theater at age 6 or 7, where my parents were, why they were letting me see Jaws at age 6 or 7, I don't know. But anyway, I was sitting in that theater and I remember the opening scene is this young woman is swimming in the ocean. And she's swimming out there, it's all, she doesn't know what's going on, and you hear it. And I'm in my seat, and I know what's happening, I know what's coming. I can see what she can't see. And I'm twisting in my, and I remember yelling out, get out of the water! Get out of the water! Trying to get her to do the thing that I wanted her to do, but I had no power because I saw the problem and I knew the solution. I wanted to climb in, but I couldn't. I couldn't climb into the story. Even if I could, I wouldn't have had any power to have affected it. Because I wasn't the writer of the story. I wasn't the one in charge of the script. When you read John 3:16, the football stadium verse, Tim Tebow, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. What's that saying? This is what it's saying. I want you to hear it through this lens. That you and me, when we navigate the dark waters of our story, and you hear that music. Maybe you don't hear it, but you're in those dark waters, and the music is playing, and God sees what we can't see. And as God looks down, he's not some horrified spectator sitting in his chair, screaming at your screen, saying, go left, go right, do this, don't do that. That's not what he did. In fact, that's what every other religion tells you. Every other religion in the world has a God that just shouts orders from afar. That's not Christianity. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what the Trinity agreed. And what the Trinity agreed, what they said was, yes, we see you, but he is the author of the story. He is the director of the story. He is the Lord over the story. And because he loved you, he wrote himself into the story. He wrote himself into the script. And he became the main character. And in that main character, Christ was born. And he lives this perfect life, the life that we couldn't live. And he climbs up on the cross to take a punishment that we deserved. And he goes into the tomb, and he stays dead for 3 days, and he comes out and he emerges. He breaks the back of death. And he meets the apostles, and he appears to 400. And people are absolutely mind blown by what's happening here. He ascends to heaven, and he sits on the throne. And on Pentecost, he pours out the gift of his Holy Spirit. He poured out the gift of his Holy Spirit, and he rewrote your story. The narratives that you think you're living, there's a bigger story. We have to see it. I want you to see this morning. We read about it in Romans 5 just a minute ago. What happens there? It says that we are justified by faith, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. How do we share in the glory of God? When God gives his Holy Spirit to us. You are made a new creation. Those broken stories that you have lived, those disconnected pieces, that story that you want and the story you have, they are brought together because the Holy Trinity absorbs you into its story. It absorbs you. You become one with Christ, and you are now part of that dance. Isn't that beautiful? And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you're part of the Holy Trinity, but I I am saying that you move into a new relationship through your union with Jesus to participate and to benefit from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all at once. What happens in that moment? Your new story is this. Hear this. You're on a journey. You think you're trying to find God. Guess what? If you're in Jesus, God has found you. He has grabbed you. He is holding you tight, and He will never let you go. And this story, I said it a second ago, if you're in Jesus, you're a new creation. This story now is not about trying to become something you are not. Your story is now about standing in the realities of who you are in Jesus and teasing those out as you live your life. What do we do about the pain and the hurt, those things that you carry in your world? Jesus writes a new story. How does He do it? Those things that were spoken over you in your life, those things that you can't unhear, they're trumped by the voice of God, voice of the Father, communicated to your heart by the Holy Spirit, that you are my beloved. You're holy, you're blameless. You are a pearl of great price, and you are mine. That life-altering mistake that you made, that the regrets you carry, what God says is the story's not over. There's more to come. And I will take all things and I will work them together for the good of those who love me. That doesn't mean all things were good. That means that He is Lord over even the bad things, and He can make them good. And He does, and He will. And those mistakes no longer define you. Those moral failures, that thing you wrestle with, maybe it's your temper or whatever it is. Pick a card. We all got something. God says to you, hey, those mistakes, they don't invalidate you. Those things you can't get beyond, that doesn't disqualify you. He doesn't cast you aside. You're not like some lost hamster weaving his way between the pews that no one can find. He sees you. He holds you in the palm of His hand. He says, you are mine, and I will never, ever let you go. And I seal you with the Holy Spirit. Hear the blessing of the Father that you received from the Son. But you have a story that matters. It matters because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, you belong to the only story that has ever mattered. That's the story of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is now your story. Amen.